heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. So I praise God for that. I'm also thankful for little Melvin. Some of you get that joke later on. That's okay. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter number 8 this morning. Romans chapter number 8. Little Melvin's been a source of great, great illustrations. And I got one for you this morning. The family would sit around the Thanksgiving table and they were getting ready to eat their dinner. And many of you have the same tradition about saying what they're thankful for. And so they went around the table and everybody said what they were thankful for. And got to little Melvin and they asked Melvin, said, Melvin, what are you thankful for? He says, I'm thankful for my bodyguard. Mama looked at him and said, what do you mean your bodyguard, Melvin? He says, yes, there's been some boys at school that have been picking on me. And they've been making fun of me and calling me all kinds of bad names. But I remember the preacher getting up there and preaching and telling us that if God's for us, who could be against us? I remember him saying that. And so before I went to school the other day, I prayed and said, God, if you're with me and you're for me, nobody can stand against me, and I'm asking you to help me. Well, you know what? I went to school, and them two boys that made fun of me, they got sick to their stomach and threw up. So God is my bodyguard, he said, and I'm thankful for my bodyguard. How many of you are thankful for your bodyguard this morning? We're going to start in the book of Romans this morning. God's promise of his presence. God's promise of his presence. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 31. He says, what shall we say to these things? What the things that he's talked about previous to this. What shall we say to these things? If God for us, who against us? Now you say, why'd you skip some words? You see, those words are in italics, and those were not part of the original language. They were added in there to make the thought process more complete. And I'm not saying that there shouldn't be there, because they should be there. But really, it says this, what shall we say to these things? If God for us, who against us? The devil's against us, but he's not stronger than the Lord. Verse number 32. It says, he that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God is for us, who is against us? Brothers and sisters, if you know Jesus Christ your Savior, God is for you. God is for you in the good times. God is for you in the bad times. God is for you even when times you don't acknowledge Him. God is for you even when you don't realize He's there. God is for you. And there's no better bodyguard. There's no better sense of peace and strength and comfort than God Almighty Himself. God's promise of His presence. And so I've got 8 points to give to you this morning. You say, oh my goodness. We're not going to get to all 8 of them, but we're going to go through every single one so you can write these scriptures down, okay? These are 8 points of God's promise of His presence, okay? Number one, His promise to Jacob. Go to Genesis chapter number 28. Genesis chapter number 28. And if you don't want to turn there, it's fine. Write these down. You can go back and read them later. But Genesis chapter number 28, God's promise of His presence. Genesis chapter number 28. We're going to start in verse number 10. Genesis 28, verse number 10 says this, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place, and he tarried there all night, because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it. And this is what he said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Quick caveat there. The families of the earth shall be blessed. Anybody have an idea who he's talking about there? Us. He's talking about you and me. Talking about us, because we are going to be, or we are saved through his Son, Jesus Christ. And behold, verse 15, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places, whether thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. Now here it is, pay attention, underline this. For I will never leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. God says, I will never leave you until I've accomplished what I'm going to accomplish. God is not done keeping that promise yet. It's still a valid promise. So brothers and sisters, if he's saying, Jacob, I'm not going to leave you till I'm done, and we're part of that promise, he will not leave you until he's done with you. How many are thankful God's not done with you yet? I'm glad God hasn't set us on a shelf. I'm glad God hadn't said, you're out of here, I'm finished with you. I'm glad God has still got something in store for us. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't say, I'm fit. No, God is not done with you. His promise to Jacob is the same promise you and I can promise and claim on to. Look at number two, the second one. His promise to Moses. Go to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter number 33, his promise to Moses. How many of you are familiar with Moses? Exodus chapter 33, verse number 11. We're going to start there. Exodus 33, verse number 11. And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. He's saying, God, you've called me here, and you've told me you're going to send somebody with me to help me through these things. Verse number 13. Now God, therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider this nation is thy people. And then God responds to Moses, and this is what he says. Moses, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. We wonder, what do I do, God? I need wisdom. God, you've told me, you've called me, you've brought me to you, but God, where are you? I need wisdom and strength. God says, Moses, I'm going to give you the wisdom because my presence will be with you. May I tell you this morning, some of you are needing some serious wisdom right now. Some of you are needing understanding about what God's will is. May I tell you, if he kept this promise to Moses, do you think he won't keep this promise to you? He says, Moses, I will go with you and give you the wisdom that you need. Third thing, the third promise, his promise to Israel. Go to Deuteronomy 21. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Fifth book. Deuteronomy chapter number 21, verses 1 to 4. His promise to the entire nation of Israel. He says this. Deuteronomy chapter 21, or chapter 20, I'm sorry. Not 21, that's my error. Deuteronomy 20. He tells the people, he says, when you go out to battle against thine enemies, and you see horses and chariots and a people more than you, be not afraid of them. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when you are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, you approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. Why? For the Lord your God is he that goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Brothers and sisters, the Lord our God goes before us to fight our battles for us. Elizabeth referred to that. He prepares the way. Do you think he loves Israel more than he loves you and I? Why would God fight for Israel and then abandon us? No. He fights the battle for us. You say, Brother Brian, I'm fighting battles every single day. I've got this enemy and that enemy and this situation. I feel like I'm doing it on my own. May I tell you, when you have God as your Savior, you're not doing anything on your own. God is fighting for you. Is your arm getting tired yet? Is it weary from fighting and killing? Is it weary from all you've been doing? Why don't you drop your arms of rebellion and say, God, you fight for me. He promised Israel. Why would he not promise us? Look at the next one, if you would, real quick. The other promise, his promise to Joshua. Joshua chapter number 1, verse number 5. Very next book, Joshua chapter 1, verse number 5. We'll start at verse number 3. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. He doesn't just say, I'm going to be with you in the battles. He says, every day of your life. Do you think that applies to you and me, or is it just Joshua only? How long will God be with me, Brother Brian? Every day of your life. I'm thankful for that promise. But maybe you're like me. Sometimes you feel like God ain't a million miles near you. How many of you like that sometimes? I'm sure Joshua did, especially after the first battle of Ai. When the army was whooped and they were running elbows and knees. And they had left behind several dead. And Joshua's saying, God, you said you'd be with me. What's the deal? Maybe you're fighting battles right now and it seems like you're saying, God, where are you? Promised. May I tell you, if he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, you can take that and trust it forever and ever. Amen. God's promise. Thankful for. Number 5. His promise to Judah. Go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. His promise to Judah. Not 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. Not Corinthians. Don't go to Corinthians. 2 Chronicles chapter number 13. Abijah stood upon the Mount Zarephath, which is Mount Ephraim, and said, Hear me, thou Jeroboam, and all Israel. Ought you not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons by a covenant of salt? Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, is risen up and hath rebelled against his Lord. So he says, there's a giant rebellion going on. You think that we're in trouble. You think that we're done. Go down to verse number 10. But as for us, the Lord is our God. Underline that. The Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. And the priests which minister unto the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites wait upon their business. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And they burn unto the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices and sweet incense. The showbread also set thee in order upon the pure table, and the candlestick of gold with lamps thereof to burn every evening. For we keep the charge of the Lord our God, but you have forsaken him. And behold, God himself is with us for our captain, and his priest was sounding trumpets to cry alarm against you. O children of Israel, fight ye not against the Lord God of your fathers, for you shall not prosper. You're not going to prosper fighting against God, he says. He says, all this rebellion's going on, all of you refusing to trust God, you can't fight God and win. Now, this is vitally important right now, and I want you to understand and realize this. Every day, I hear it, I read it, I see it, not only on the media, but from people I talk to every day. Oh, the world is going haywire. This place is doing this. These people are believing that. This event's taking place. Oh, my goodness. What are we going to do? May I tell you what we're going to do? We're going to keep trusting the Lord and doing what is right. We're not going to fold into the ways of the world. We're not going to go with society. We're going to continue to keep what God's Word has clearly told us, because when you go against God's Word, you're going against God. And I don't care what church name you say. I don't care what governmental organization you belong to. It's got nothing to do. If you're with God, He's on your side. If you're against God, He's against you. And I don't want to fight God. Amen? So stop your fretting. Stop your panicking. Stop being like Chicken Little. Chicken Little. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. The maker of the sky has never failed. Amen? Amen. Number 6. If y'all say men, I'll go a lot quicker. Go to Psalm 46 real quick. Write Psalm 46 down. He's the promise of refuge. I want you to read that psalm sometime. Write it down. So you can go back and read it. The promise of refuge. Write it down in your notes. Put a bookmark, earmark that. Do something. Put your neighbor's toe there, whatever it takes. Psalm 46. Go to number 7. Number 7. There we go. The promise to His chosen. Go to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41. The promise to His chosen. I didn't want to skip this one. Isaiah 41, verse number 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called thee from the chief men thereof and said unto thee, thou art my servant, I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, verse 10, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. This was one of the verses that I memorized after Psalm 19:14. God gave me this verse because I was under such attack and situations that while I was still in the service, I had everybody against me. And God gave me these verses, and I said, God, thank you. Thank you, God. Because with you and God, you're in the majority. You and God's majority, no matter what the world says. Can I show you one more? Let me give you another one. Number 8. The promise of His eternal presence. Hebrews 13:5. We know this one like the back of our hand, but I want to remind you of it. And I encourage you to go back and read these scriptures. Hebrews 13:5. The writer of Hebrews, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He, God, and this is what He has said to you, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." If God promised in the Old Testament to Jacob and Moses and Joshua and the children of Israel, and Isaiah promised it to us, don't you think He's going to make the same promise in the book of Hebrews? Don't you think that applies to you and I also? There's going to be days, today maybe, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, you're going to feel abandoned. You're going to feel lonely. You're going to feel like nobody cares. You're going to feel like God is not even existent. But my friends, my God is above feelings. My God is the God of truth. He promised to never leave nor forsake us. And in those deepest, darkest days, and they're coming, in those deepest, darkest times, remember this. God has promised His eternal presence. And when will that presence end? When will God stop being in our presence? Never. Never. The promise that He has made to us. So if you've got nothing to be thankful for this week, you've got nothing to be thankful for today, thank God He's the best bodyguard there ever was. How many of you are with little Melvin and saying, thank God for bodyguards? Praise His name. Let's all stand together this morning. Miss Shirley, I'm going to request a song. It's going to be a time of invitation, but maybe, I hope that everybody can sing this. Are you familiar with the song, "Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul"? How many are familiar with that song? Can you find those words real quick, fellows up there? I know I've thrown a wrench into the whole plans, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. But "Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul." I don't know if it's in the book or not. They're looking for it. A lot of things to be thankful for. Thank you for the food we're getting ready to eat in just a minute. Thank you for our families and our friends and our churches. Thank you for everything He's done for us. But the most important thing that we have to say thank you to God is for saving our souls. So Michelle, are you familiar with that song, or did I throw a wrench into it? Well, I'm sorry, it's my fault, but it's okay. But that just song just keeps ringing through my mind. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Can you find it, Joe, or did I throw a wrench on that whole thing too? Okay, yeah. Okay, we'll do our best. That's all my fault, but that's okay. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. There it is, right there. Amen. Here we go. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Amen. For making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for
salvation so rich and free.
Let's sing this. Let's sing it one more time without music. Here we go.
Thank you.